As we begin part three of our series, Searching for Jesus, I would contend that people are, in fact, searching for something, and what they really need to be searching for is Jesus. What it boils down to in many cases is people are searching for what? They're searching for happiness. So I thought, why are frogs so happy? They eat whatever bugs them. I asked my wife what she wanted for Christmas. She told me nothing would make her happier than a diamond necklace. So I bought her nothing. And people say money is not the key to happiness, but I always figured if you had enough money, you could have a key made. So what do people think will make them happy? Just holler out something that you think would make someone happy. Success, good health, a nice house, family, friends. All of those are good answers of what people seek to make them happy. When you look and see what Americans are doing to make themselves happy, 46% of Americans are spending more money each month than they take in. And they're spending this money trying to make themselves happy. So according to a couple surveys, this is what Americans think will make them happy. The first thing is to look like a model. So I got that one down. Number two is having more free time. Number three was to be young again, even though in studies older people report more happiness than younger people. To have an extraordinary talent or have a high IQ. To have power. To have fame. 51% of high school students say that their greatest ambition is to become famous. Or to have number seven, to have wealth. And I think wealth is probably the one that I think of as being the most out there one that people are really struggling to try to get more money. Well, the site HLOOM surveyed 2,000 Americans, and 27% of millennials say they waste money on entertainment, and 17% of the money they waste on cars and fuel. When you look at boomers and Gen Xers, they say they waste their money on cable, and 15% of them say they waste their money on cigarettes. All three generations say that they waste money eating out and on food that expires before they have a chance to eat it. Another big way that people are trying to find happiness is by playing the lottery. And it turns out that 82% of all the sales of the lottery comes from about 20% of the players. And in New York, they did a study, and for every $3 spent on the New York lottery, less than a dollar of that actually gets paid out to the winners. The other $2 is going to expenses and taxes. Every year, Americans spend $70.1 billion on the lottery. That works out to an average of $630 per household in America. That represents more money spent on the lottery than books, sporting events, music, video games, and going to the movies combined. And that's the graph up there. That top one is the lottery, and all those other ones are the other things. So people are seeking happiness, and clearly they think that happiness is going to come from playing the lottery or winning big. In the U.S., the chances of experiencing three positive emotions per day, which is what this study studied, was happiness, enjoyment, and smiling or laughter. The chances of that does increase slightly with increased income, but the benefit is limited based on the region. So in our region, the peak happiness level was $54,000 a year. In other regions of the United States, it peaked out at $120,000 a year. But by and large, once you got to that level, happiness did not increase the more money that you had. Someone with $54,000 was just as happy as someone who had millions of dollars in the bank. One study examined the attitudes of 12,000 freshmen. And when they were 18, they were asked what their aspirations were. And of those that expressed materialistic aspirations as freshmen, when they were asked again at age 37, they were less satisfied with their lives 2 decades later because their aspirations were material goods. Multiple studies have found that worldwide, you know what country is the happiest worldwide? Not of the developed world, but of the whole world? Nigeria. Nigerians are some of the happiest people in the world, yet the average wage is $300 a year. A year. And they're the happiest. Studies show that friendship, altruism, which is putting others above yourself, and religious practices ultimately are what brings people happiness. And if you look at those three things, they sound eerily familiar to things that are in the Bible and things that Jesus talked about, of relationships, of humility, and of following Christ. Hundreds of people are searching for happiness, but happiness is a fleeting emotion. What's really needed is joy, and true joy is found in Christ. And so I want us to read a passage where Jesus talks about joy. And it's in John chapter 15. If you're using an app, it's the New Living Translation. And we're going to look at John chapter 15, and we're going to read the first 17 verses. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that don't bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, this is Jesus speaking, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father has told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. Here Jesus is saying that true joy is found in being on the vine, being connected to Jesus, because Jesus is the vine. The key word in this passage is remaining or abiding. And the key to joy in this life is to remain or abide in Jesus. So how do we know if we're abiding in Jesus? How do we know if we're connected to the vine? Jesus is very clear. He said the biggest test to know whether you're connected to the vine or not is if you are producing fruit. Failure to abide in the vine cannot help but lead to failure to produce fruit. Independent of the vine, you're just a branch, and you're not going to produce fruit. You're going to wither and die. To abide in Jesus also means that he abides in you. And in order for that to happen, in order for Jesus to abide in you, you must be abiding in him and be connected to Jesus. Not being attached to the vine, not being attached to Jesus, means that you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and you're in danger of being cut off and thrown into the fire. No fruit, no relationship. No relationship, no fruit. Having that relationship with Jesus tells us that Jesus says that he will answer our prayers. And it's not a magic formula that we somehow can pray and say, in Jesus' name, I command that I get this. But rather, when we're abiding with Jesus, when we are in the vine, when we are following God, we necessarily take on the attitude and the priorities of Jesus, and we're praying in line with his will. Therefore, when we pray in line with his will, of course, God's going to answer that because it is part of his plan. Further, Jesus says in verse 10, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. So what are Jesus' commandments? What did Jesus say the greatest two commandments are? Love God and love your neighbor. Loving your neighbor as yourself. So loving God, loving people, the way that Jesus first loved us, is the way that you're showing that you're connected to the vine and therefore producing fruit. John says it this way in one of his letters. He says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Jesus showed true love by dying on the cross for each one of us, offering us eternal life. Therefore, we must show others the same type of love that Jesus first showed to us. Right before this, John says, anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. So in order to show God's love to people, you must be connected to the vine. If you're not connected to the vine, you cannot show God's love because you are not in God's love. If you do not love others, you're not demonstrating the love that God first showed to you. And when you're not bearing fruit by not loving others, you're in danger of being cut off and thrown into the fire. In contrast to being thrown into the fire, Jesus says that those who abide in him are also his friends. Jesus is our master and our Lord, but he also says that he's our friend, because slaves are expected to obey their master without explanation, without reason. But a friend is different. Friends of Jesus have been given revelation about God through Jesus. Friends have a relationship with Jesus based on knowing and accepting the Father's plan for the revelation and salvation which Jesus accomplishes. And friends of Jesus are not left alone out in the field by themselves. They're given assurance again that Jesus is with them and the Holy Spirit is with them because they are part of the vine. They are part of the community of faith. And Jesus drives this home with the last part of this section where he says, love each other. Authentic discipleship, which is what's being talked about here, being on the vine, it's all about loving one another. And that love was epitomized by Jesus dying for us. If we are abiding in Jesus, if we are truly following Christ, then love must be the fruit that can be seen in our lives. The people that we surround ourselves on that vine will be showing love as well. True joy is not found in just believing the right things, but rather in doing the right things and doing love. So what? What do? It's essential that we are connected to the vine both individually and as a church. Because to be on the vine, to not be on the vine, is to be subject to judgment. So we have to make sure that we're on the vine. And how do we know if we're on the vine? We look to see if we're producing fruit. which means that we're actively loving others. Bearing fruit means loving others as God loves them, which is indescribable and immeasurable. So take a minute and think back on your week. Did you show love to anyone in this past week? Think about it for a second. I think most of us, if we really think about it, would say, yeah, we showed love to someone this week. And it was probably who? A friend or a family member, right? Someone that we know well. But what about to the stranger? What about to someone that you may not care for? Someone that I know is having troubles with a coworker. But she put aside those troubles with a coworker to do something nice for this other person, even though she wasn't feeling particularly loved. She showed love in spite of how she was feeling. Here's another example of a random act of kindness.
Thank you for choosing Chick-fil-A. This is Hannah. How may I serve you?
It can be a routine. Car after car.
2284 at the window.
Order after order. But on Monday night, one customer's request put a screech on all operations.
Everyone was like totally stunned.
A man drove up to Chick-fil-A and ordered his food. Sounds normal, right?
Yes, huh?
That is until he had to pay.
Here's 10 $100 bills. I'd like to pay for everybody else in the line. And for the next 1 hour, he bought everybody's meal.
This random yet generous act would help serve 88 people. Team leader Dusty Wolf was there, and understandably, she was shocked.
I was like, did you win the lottery today? Like, why are you doing this? He's like, well, Mondays are tough. I just want to make everyone have a good day. Like, I just want to help them have a good day.
It was still a jackpot for the many customers behind him. Paying it forward is common, but $1,000, well, that has people rubbing their heads.
Like, some of them thought it was a joke. Like, they can't even take their food. They're just like, what?
Or cheering with joy.
Kids last night in the back just going, yay!
If anything, customers weren't prepared to order their food with a side of random kindness.
The 8 of the 12 piece, sir.
We had a lady who had had, gosh, just an awful day. She received it. We told her what was going on. And just started crying in the drive-thru.
The man, who we only know as John, may have done an anonymous gesture, but the impact ripples far beyond 88 people.
We need to think about other people, not just ourselves, and that putting a little bit of joy in someone's life unexpectedly is a real blessing.
And if there's one thing to sum up how people view this mystery man, it's this.
You're the man.
Hannah, how many have heard of you?
Pretty cool, huh? If you look back on your week, do you see any opportunities where you may have had a chance to show love to a stranger, but you didn't? Now, showing love doesn't mean that you're spending $1,000 buying Chick-fil-A for everyone. Though if you want to buy Chick-fil-A for someone, my wife loves Chick-fil-A. And so Sky is volunteering as well. But maybe your checker at Dylan's was slow. But you could tell that she was having a bad day. So do you respond to her in frustration, or do you offer her a kind word? Showing love doesn't take money. It doesn't take a grand gesture. It can be something small, but something significant. So what's one way someone could show love to a stranger this week? Let's hear some answers. What do you think? Smile at them. Open a door for them. Speak to them. Invite them to church. Flowers. Chocolate, I'll throw that out there. Help someone with their change if they're short at the checkout. All of these things are little things that everyone in this room can do this week to show love. We have to put these things into practice this week and show God's love to others. Loving people can truly change the world. And this is a short video from Kid President that I thought fit this particular theme today.
There are lots of ideas how you can change the world. Some people think you should just complain about it. That won't change the world. It'll just make it mad. Some people think you have lots of money. Making it rain everywhere you go. holler for a dollar.
Some people think you have to be really loud and yell a lot. It's like with a bullhorn shouting,
"Hey you, yeah you, get my way right now, you heard?"
Other people choose to just make fun of everything. That's dumb, everyone's dumb. It's easier to make fun of stuff, but it's cooler to make stuff. Some people think changing the world can only be done by the smartest person in the world. Just put them in a room, let them figure it out. The solution of world hunger? Food. Wow, that was like so amazing. Some people see the bad in the world and they just decide to ignore it, but that won't help anything.
Some people think you have to be really famous, super cool.
In fact, lots of people think you have to be really powerful to make a difference, like being mayor, or senator, or president. But the truth is, a title doesn't make you more important. The world is changed by you. It's one person filled with love, and they just have to live it out, so they do something awesome. Then that person is filled with love, and they do something awesome. It just goes on and on and on and on. And the next thing you know, everything's awesome. Some people think it's impossible to change the world.
It's impossible to change the world.
Well, you can see why they could think that. Living in the world with kids who are hungry, people who are homeless, families weren't happy. I'm just trying to figure it out like everybody else, man. I do know this, though. Next time you feel overwhelmed or totally alone, remember this. Things don't have to be the way they are. The world is changed by ordinary people. Little people living out big love. And that's what gives the world a reason to dance.
Showing others love shows them that you are connected to the vine. And the vine is what's most important, to point people back to Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas, 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.